Hello, girls. Welcome to the podcast today. I'm here with my sweet friend, Elise. I'll have her introduce herself, and then we'll kind of just get into today's podcast talk.
Hey, guys. Like Emily said, my name is Elise, and we totally just met on Instagram. Sort of like first world, that's how I'm meeting everyone, especially now since I'm out of my family's farm and I pretty much don't leave except to go shopping. But I'm so excited to be here with you guys, and I want to thank Emily for having me on here. It's my very first podcast ever, so it's kind of like my building block into this podcasting world. I'm such a podcast junkie, so I'm excited to actually be on one and on the other end. So I started my kind of recovery journey, I guess, back when I was about 20, and in university, I had struggled with food issues, binge eating, restricting, dieting, orthorexia, anorexia. Even though I didn't really know it at the time, I was never officially diagnosed with anything. And I know that's a big topic that people talk about. But I realized in university that I had an issue around food, and it started to affect my relationships, especially with my husband. We had just gotten married, and it also started to affect just me showing up to classes and my productivity level. And I finally realized that I just wasn't really okay with that. So I just decided to do something different, because obviously what I was doing wasn't working. I was in this constant cycle of binging and then restricting, and I was just so mentally and physically exhausted with it all. And so my journey kind of just started by me kind of like flailing around trying different things, and through many things, including like books and podcasts and even essential oils, which we're going to talk a bit more about in this podcast, I taught myself to intuitively eat. And I'm really happy to say that I am such a different person than I was when I was with my eating disorder. I literally had no idea that I could live the way that I'm living now and just be able to eat and be able to live and not have food dictate every thought, every action. And for all of you guys listening, if you're in this with us and like you've been where you are, where we've been, I just really want to say thank you for being here. And it's just, you're doing such amazing things by listening to these podcasts and doing the work for you. And it will work. Just lean in. And yeah, so I'm excited to be here.
Elise, that was the most beautiful intro I've ever had someone do. I loved it. And I loved that you, like, you called attention to two such huge things, which is, your eating disorder, it doesn't even have to, in my opinion, this is completely my opinion, it doesn't have to be just a one form of a disorder. It doesn't really have to be diagnosed necessarily. Like, if you struggle with food, you struggle with food. And I think so many more of us actually struggle the way you and I did, not just in one way. You kind of roller coaster, like you overly diet, then you'll have a period where you binge, then you have a period where you restrict again, then you have a period where you only eat clean again, like then you're keto, then you're vegan, like you're always just battling food. I think that's a niche of quote unquote eating disorders that is kind of missed. I think it's that person, like to the girls listening, I think it's that girl, kind of speaking for myself, and I think you and I were very similar, that we were quote unquote fine. Like, we were living life. You went to university. I was in college. Like, I went to college. I had a job even when I was still struggling. I was all right. And I put that in quotes. And I didn't think that life could be any better. Like, I didn't think that my struggle with food wouldn't just keep morphing like the rest of my life. And so I think if you're listening to this, and even if you don't necessarily have anorexia specifically, or you don't have, or you have binge eating disorder and you don't have restriction or whatever it may be, if you're someone who struggles with food, you deserve not to struggle. Like, that's my motto, basically. And so I love that you brought attention to that. And I love that you brought attention to, you know, you deserve a life more than all right. Like I just said, like, that was my motto growing up, was like, I'm fine. I'm fine. This is fine. This is good enough. Like, I really don't have to get better. I don't have to go through recovery because I'm not like the worst. I don't know. It was this weird thing of just like, this is how it always has to be. And I know Elise and I really want to dive in today on A, it doesn't always have to be that way. And B, here are like some real tangible tools that helped us create the life outside of the one of like, this is fine, missing class is fine, or like not feeling connected to my friends is fine, because you deserve a life more than fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're in it, we don't see it. Like, we just don't know that there is a life beyond just having our life dictated by food, because when we're younger, it's not, but usually it starts when we're in our teens and we don't even remember it being a different way, and it sort of sneaks up on us. And then before we know it, it's just become our new normal. But it's so important to realize that that's not normal, and you need to hear it from someone else maybe, or read it in a book, or just realize it for yourself finally. But it's just not normal. And it's just so sad that so many girls are stuck in it. And that's really what motivated me to start sharing my story. Like, I didn't even have Instagram or Facebook a couple of years ago. I just was not on social media. And when I realized that my life had changed after I healed my struggles with food, I was like, how many other girls in university are struggling just like I was, and they can be not struggling and like thriving. All they have to do is realize that there is an issue and then do whatever it takes to heal it. So yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yes. And that your issue isn't with food, it's with yourself. And I think realizing that it's okay to have an issue. I think the awareness, like you said, is key. Like, it's okay to have an issue, and then it's okay to do something about it. And it's not easy. It's not quick. Like, it's not a fast fix, because you probably haven't been struggling for a short amount of time. Yet every single day, like, I can say this from the bottom of my heart, that I've dedicated to living my life with like food freedom has been worth it. 1,010% worth it, way more than the girl I used to be. And I would love for you, Elise, to share, like, to start kind of sharing some of your tips around like what were small or large things that really were beneficial to you when you made that decision of like, I'm not going to live like this anymore, and you know, I want to live a life freely with food.
Yeah, totally. I have a really distinct moment where I was like, this is not okay. I was on my running university team, and it was the last year that a lot of the girls who I've been running with were graduating. So it was their last year running. And we have this big athletic banquet. And I share this story on Instagram because I think it's really pivotal. And I didn't go to it. I didn't go because I hadn't reached the goal weight that I wanted. And we were all dressing up, and I was wearing like this special dress, and I'd made a goal for myself to reach, and I didn't reach it. And so I didn't go to this banquet. And afterward, I just was like, whoa, like, how many things are you going to miss that are like this and even more important? Like, an athletic banquet is important, but like, it's not like a wedding or something like that. But still, it was huge for me, because it was letting my team down. It was letting myself down. And I just blatantly asked myself, are you okay with this? Are you okay with missing these types of things for your issues around food? And I just said no. I said no. And that was the first time that I was like, whoa, this is gonna change, and it's gonna start right now. And I had no idea where to start. And like I said, I kind of like flailed around trying different things, but what I ended up latching onto, was podcasts. I listened hardcore to one that's called Melissa Ambrosini, the Melissa Ambrosini Show. I started listening to it every single day. And then the other one was the Nourishing Women podcast. They've changed a little bit now, but I started from the beginning and I just listened to every single episode. And I also read a book by Melissa Ambrosini. It was called Mastering Your Mean Girl. So her mean girl is the same as what we call like the ED voice, and or like your inner critic. And those three things were so pivotal in my recovery and just believing that it was actually possible, because I didn't believe it was possible. And so just hearing other people share their story of how they healed, was just absolutely incredible for me. And that's just what I held on to on like my bad body image days, when like I had a binge and I really, really wanted to restrict the next day. I was just like, no, we don't do this anymore. And I know you just said that on your stories, and I was gonna reply to it because that's so weird. That's literally exactly what I still say that to myself sometimes, like when I eat and I'm really full and I'm just like, oh man, like we have to eat a little bit less tomorrow. And I'm just like, nope, Elise, we do not do that anymore. And also just distraction is key, especially in the beginning. Whatever you can do to distract yourself from the guilt around eating or anything like that. I started a blog. You don't have to start a blog, but if that's something that you're into, just any kind of distractions are really good. And also just finding something that makes you feel less alone in this journey, because I felt so alone in my journey and thought that I was the only one struggling with this. And it's just not true. I remember being on the elliptical listening to one of the Melissa Ambrosini Show podcasts with Dana James on it. And she writes a really cool book, The Archetype Diet, where she splits women up into four groups. And we all have issues around food, but for different reasons. And I have issues around food because I'm in the group where I get my self-worth from how my physical body looks. And when I heard her talking about this femme fatale, I literally almost fell off the elliptical because I was like, she knows what's in my brain. She literally was saying exactly what I had felt my whole life. And I was just like, wow, like she is healing people like me. I can do this. I'm not alone. There's other people like me. And I think that's really, really important when we're trying to recover, is just knowing that we're not the first one doing this. It's been done. It's 100% possible.
Oh my gosh, I love that, because I just made a post. I know I say that we don't do that anymore. I love that quote too, because it is, it's talking back to whatever you want to call it that's not you, right? Like, you're not your disorder. You're not even your poor food relationship. You're not whatever it may be. You're not that voice in your head making you hurt yourself, like to a certain extent, not to feel really sad, but you're not that person. And so saying we don't do that anymore takes the power back. And I say that all the time. And I love what you talked about, because this is sort of a, so I'm a hippie dippy, and I firmly believe in manifestation. Like, I believe in the power of your brain, whatever you want to call it, in your ego, in your identity, in your inner critic. And something that I've noticed with girls, and this was with myself as well, I would see so many girls online, I would read success stories, and I loved them. They were so empowering, inspiring to me. But deep down, my inner critic would be like, yeah, but Em, like, you can't. You can't. Everyone else can get better. Everyone else can be happier without chasing a goal weight, or be happier without their restrictions or overexercising or whatever. But for you, that, like, that's not possible. And I want to address that, because if you can see something, if you can visualize something for yourself, that means it's possible for you. Meaning that other people are exactly like you that have now been able to heal and to recover. And I just really want to make that point of like encouragement, because I felt the same way. I was like, I mean, I struggled for 10 years. Like, 10 years is a long time, especially like I was 12 to like 22. It's a huge chunk of your life to like struggle with something, and then to wake up one day and say, that's not me though. I don't have to be that person. And something that really helped me release that identity of like, I won't ever be able to get better, this is just how I always am, is calling out the fairy tale that your mean girl or that your eating disorder was telling you, and getting extremely clear, kind of like what you just said, on what is your other option. So I'll give you an example. And like, I've talked about this on my Instagram before. I always thought that like, once I lost this amount of weight and I was this size and I looked this way, that I would be so happy, like incredibly happy. My life would be just like rainbows and sunshine and unicorns. Like, it couldn't be better. Men would be like kissing my hand. Like, life would be an absolute paradise. And I bring this up because I think we all think that, right? Like, the journey's awful. It's so painful. It's so lonely. But then once we hit that goal weight, like, the whole world will just be at our feet. And an exercise that I do, and this is a resource that like I wanted to share, and I do it with my girls, is take a piece of paper and write down what you think your food, your eating disorder, or your poor food relationship, whatever you want to call it, what you think it will bring you. And then take a piece of paper and get extremely clear on what it has and what it will most likely. And like what you were saying, like, okay, so I'm chasing this goal weight, but I'm not even allowing myself to like go to a wedding, or like I'm not allowing myself to like go and get dinner with my friends. Like they're two different realms. And one of them is this like lie of a fairy tale. And one of them is this really sad truth of like, this is the life, that the path that you're going down. And I think that awareness is such a huge key to be like, wait a minute, this isn't going to bring me what I think it will. I can and will make a change to bring me the life that I will, because my self-worth isn't in my body. I think that's such a cool exercise to do for girls.
Yeah, I think that's so important to just get it down on paper. And I know you probably read about doing stuff where you write it down, but it literally changes things. When you see it written down, it seems so clear. And if it's something crazy, when you put it down on paper, you're like, yeah, that's crazy. And it comes out of your mind and onto paper, and it clears everything. And I mean, that's why journaling is so powerful. And pretty much every successful person or expert talks about journaling. And I think that's exactly why.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it just helps you to get very honest with yourself about the pain that this disorder has brought you, and taking back the power of, I'm not going to allow it to manipulate me even further. Like I always call my Ed a con artist. They kind of sell you this like fairy tale or whatever, and then every single day is painful. It's painful. It's sad. You feel lonely. And like to the girls listening, like, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to buy this con artist package of like this paradise that never arrives. Because something that I've shared on my Instagram as well is, when I was my absolute smallest, I was so insecure. I didn't hang out with anyone. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't even have the mental energy to like study. Like I was not living my life to the fullest. And so to say that like, once you get super small, you'll be so happy. Like I did it. And I felt way worse 30 or 40 pounds ago from where I am here. It's so wild when you wake up to those realizations, and you wake up to that awareness of like, wait a minute, this isn't actually what I think this is.
Yeah. And I have a story just from yesterday. I reconnected with one of my friends from my first year of university in Ontario. And that was back when I went to school really young because I was homeschooled, but I went there when I was 17 to do my first year in this liberal arts college. And we were just talking yesterday because we'd reconnected on Instagram after not talking after that year for like 6 years. And I apologized for the way that I treated her because it was awful. Looking back now, like how I treated her just because I thought she was quote unquote like in the perfect body and like had all the guys chasing her. So I was super jealous, even though we were friends. And so I just apologized. And I was like, I was dealing with really serious issues at that time, and it manifested in me treating you like that, and I'm really sorry for that. And she was completely blown away because nobody knew that I had any issues around food. Like I kept it very, very hidden. And she came back with me and she's like, I've been in recovery from alcoholism for 2 years. And so you never know what other people are dealing with, but you also don't know what you're dealing with at some times. And it's important to be able to trust other people and hear their stories, because you may not see it right now, but you're doing things maybe in your life right now that you don't even know. And like for the girls listening, you can look at your life now and be like, what areas am I maybe not showing up the most or showing up as who I want to be? And really ask yourself like how important that is for you. And that can maybe be a starting block for you, even if you don't start recovery for yourself,
or it's too hard to just do it for yourself. I started recovery mostly for my husband and for like my partner, because I knew that it was affecting our relationship. And I also started it for my two younger sisters, because I realized that the example that I had set for them was absolutely awful. And so I started it for them. And if that's something that could help you too, I think that could be really important as well.
I love that. It's like finding your why. I think that's a huge tool. Your why is absolutely everything. Intention is everything. Why is everything. And because you're going to want to run back home. I say that all the time. Like, your comfort, your norm, your default has become struggling with food. And I just made a worksheet on this with your subconscious. You've almost trained yourself that, like, and it's okay. Like, I think that's the biggest message from both of us, is it's completely okay. So many of us have done it. Like, don't feel bad. Don't feel alone. Feel empowered to change it. And I just made a worksheet about this, realizing that your subconscious runs your show, right? And if you, whatever it takes to change the patterns that have just been habitualized is like what you need to do. And the only way you can make change is by being aware and by having a why. That's the only way, is being aware of what's going on, being open for support, and having such a hard reason to keep going, because you're gonna wanna turn back. And I love that you brought up, Elise, about like looking at someone and thinking they have their perfect like life, because my second tip actually is about social media. So do not follow people that you look at. We're like getting hyped. Do not follow people that you only look at their photos and go, wow, I wish I could look like that. And you follow them for what reason? Like, I used to do that all the time. I would like go on Pinterest. I would just like look at like girl outfits. I'm not looking at the outfit. I'm looking at what they look like so I can beat myself up. Like, the world will beat you up enough, as dark as that is. You don't have to also bully yourself constantly. So on social media, like, don't follow people that you find yourself having that comparison moment. And I think, because if you struggle with food, you most likely also struggle with people pleasing to a certain extent. Be selfish. Like, I have friends that I like went to high school or college with, and it's not their fault, but it's also my responsibility that if I find myself comparing myself to them, I unfollow them. And yes, it's like hard and it's scary, but you have to be selfish, because you've most likely spent your whole life being selfless and allowing even your mean girl or inner critic to walk all over you. And it's time to literally like shut that down. Do what you have to do. Take in the media that is beneficial to you, that you find inspiring, honest, like whatever it may be. And the media that you don't, like, get rid of it, because there is no good in just staring at something and going, I wish I'd look like that. I would be so happy. Something that helped me so much was realizing that I actually had a girl, this is like a weird story. I had a girl comment on one of my photos one time, this was like months ago, and was like, oh my gosh, I wish I looked like you, or something like that. She was like, I would be so happy. And in the photo, it's so funny, because I actually felt very insecure. It's a photo of like my full body, like what I felt kind of uncomfortable posting it, but I was like, you know what, like, and get over it. Like, I have to do the inner work too all the time. But I did, I kind of felt uncomfortable in the photo. And I realized that I am someone's quote unquote dream body, just like I think that someone else is my dream body. And just like I think, oh my gosh, if I looked like that, I'd be so happy. Someone was doing that to me. And I have body, you know, image days, and I have like insecurities and whatever. There is no shell of happiness. There just isn't. And when you realize that, that someone is doing that to you and you're doing it to someone else, that's like, that's the weirdest realization I've ever had, is like, then you gotta fall in love with the girl in the shell, because no matter what shell you pick, you're still the same girl.
Yeah, I never was into any like self-love or anything like that before just a couple of years ago. And just taking ownership of really implementing that in my life has completely changed everything for me. Like, I call my essential oil classes essential oils for self-love, because that's what I use them for. That's what I started using them for. A lot of people just get into essential oils for like cleaning and like living more naturally, which is great.
No, I got into them for recovery, and that's what I use them for. And I call them like my little self-love boosters because they're literally that. And it's so important to learn how to make yourself feel loved, whatever that is for you. It's so important, whether it's like journaling, or I like to do like self-love oil massages. So I make my own body butter and I rub it all over my body. Melissa Ambrosini, I got this from her, and she's like, talk to your body while you're massaging it. And it sounds super crazy, I know, but it is so healing because you have to touch and accept every part of your body in this exercise. And when you talk to your body and own it, it has become so important. And another huge thing that I've gotten into is like learning about my sexuality as a female. And it's just been such a healing journey for me because I just never did that because I was so disconnected from my body. And I think that's really the case for most people struggling with their bodies. It's like, I don't want to have anything to do with my body. It's not doing what I want it to do, so I'm just going to keep manipulating it and not listening to what it's telling me. And our body just wants to work for us. And so jumping in on this self-love journey, it can look like whatever you want it to and whatever works for you. But it's super important in healing. And when you're like loving on yourself and on your body, there's no room for like eating disorders. You just completely knock them out, which can help so much.
I think that is so beautiful, Elise, because I was just journaling about this the other day, which is so weird. I had come to this weird realization because I'm taking this online course about meditative healing for eating disorders because I really want to start implementing it into my coaching. And one of the meditations is body talk, like talking to your body. And of course, when I did it, I was like, what a weird idea. I'm like, okay, sure, I guess. And so I was like, doing the actual class. So I was learning about why this was like a tool or whatever. And then you had to actually do the tool. And afterwards, he asked you to like journal about the experience. And I was like journaling about it. And I realized something. It's actually not silly at all, because we've been saying this the whole time. You're not your body. So there's a you, there's like your spirit, like who you truly are. There's your body, which is your shell, which carries you around, supports you, love you, like man, like everything that it does for you. But then in the middle is where your disorder gets in. And so when you do these exercises of like talking to your body, like taking self-care, I say that especially in recovery, like do a face mask literally every day if you want, like get your nails done, get your hair done, like do what makes you feel good, because you've been disconnected from your body for so long that like talking to it isn't silly because it's not you. And you need to be like, hey, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I did this. And I'm sorry that I tried to like just change you. And like, I truly, one of the biggest, I love how you shared one of your like weirdest pivotal moments. One of the biggest pivotal moments I had was probably around the age of like 21. I like was starting to kind of go through recovery. I wanted to not live with my eating disorder. I'd made that choice, but I hadn't really done the body part. Like I still hated how I looked. I still hated my weight and like all of that. But I went to a doctor's appointment and I had to get tested for something. And then I like had to get a shot. I don't remember, but they were running labs on me. And something that was so scary to me was like, oh my gosh, like, is my body okay? And in that moment, I developed this like compassion for my body. Like I was genuinely concerned. Like I was like, I really hope everything's okay. Like I really hope that like blah, 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 whatever. And then looking back on it, I had treated my body so poorly, but I got my labs back. And so this story is like such a pivotal point for me. My body is in like perfect condition. Like everything was good. My labs were good. Like my bones are healthy. My this, that, whatever. Like my period was coming back normally. Like all of these things. And I was like, holy shit. I put my body through hell for like a decade. And it still didn't give up on me. Even when I gave up on it, like I manipulated it, starved it, gorged it. Like I did everything, not to get like super triggering. I did everything. I worked out for 3 hours a day one day. Like, and yet through all of that, all it wanted to do was support me.
And it did. It was crazy. It was like the craziest, most beautiful moment ever. And so having that connection and having that appreciation for your body is the absolute key, because you have been disconnected, because your mean girl is in the way. And removing her, you almost have to start this relationship again. And like in the meditation, he had you say what your body needs from you, what you need from your body, almost like you're in like a couple's counseling. Like it was really, really cool. And it just made you feel so settled, like within yourself. Like you just felt here in your chest and in your stomach and in your legs, not in your brain where like your mean girl and inner critic hang out.
Yeah, totally. That sounds so cool. I like meditating, but I'm kind of on like a intermittent kind of schedule with it. But I think it's so important to meditate, but also use it as a way to reconnect with your body. And I say all the time, like, I never remember a time where I wasn't so focused on my body, like hyper-focused on my body. And that really hasn't changed. And I don't really think we can heal that. And I think for the girls listening, some of us feel like we need to just like stop looking at our body and like just don't pay attention to it, just eat and like don't think about it. But that's, I don't think that's really possible. Like in my experience, that wasn't. What happened for me was I shifted from being hyper-focused on my body in a negative way to being hyper-focused on my body, but in a positive way, like wanting to take care of it, exactly like you said at your doctor's appointment. And for me, a big one was using essential oils to learn about my body, learn how to take care of every like system in my body, whether it's like my mind or my emotions. And that's really been a turning point for me, even like all the physical symptoms we struggle with in recovery, like bloating and indigestion, because we're just like eating what our body wants us to instead of us like manipulating it. So our stomach's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? So I just used oils throughout every single one of those transitions. And it's been so cool to watch, because I'm just like, oh, how can I like love on my body today with more essential oils? And like, what does it need? I heard someone say in a podcast, she wakes up every single morning and she's like, she talks to her body and she's like, what do you need today? And I'm just like, what? That is so cool. Like, oh, wow. I think that like subconsciously, and I started doing it, and it's just such a beautiful way to start your day, because it's like just kind of reconnecting with not what your maybe mind is telling you or like social media is telling you. It's kind of like you're tuning in and you're being like, okay, what do you need today? And I just thought that was so beautiful.
I love that. And I love that you touched on like, I so deeply agree with it's a personality thing. I think the hyper-focusedness, like something that I've learned in my coaching, which is so interesting, is that every single girl I've ever talked with deep down has almost the same personality profile. Like and it's because food and manipulating your body is just a coping mechanism, just like alcoholism is, just like smoking is. I have never, like, thank God, and I feel so bad for people who have struggled with, for example, alcoholism, but I've never struggled with it. And it's really weird to see it that way, where it's like, interesting, why am I hyper focused about my body? But like my ex, for example, was not at all, never even thought about it. Like I was like, that's crazy. I can't imagine not thinking about it. Right. And we all have these habitual programs in our brain of how we deal with stuff. And so my point with all of this is I think the personality profile of someone who struggles with food almost always includes some form of perfectionism, some form of obsessiveness, and some form of anxiety or like unsettled energy. And the obsession part, I say this all the time to my clients, and it's been a tool for me as well. Become obsessed with your recovery. Like you have a very obsessive personality, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. You've just picked a really bad thing to focus on, like to be obsessed with. And I think that that's something that I wish someone had told me when I was struggling with food, because while I am by no means saying that this doesn't happen, I didn't necessarily fit the profile of an eating disorder. I was sort of high functioning, and it made me feel like everyone was telling me that I was weak, that I was like silly, that I like, I don't know. I just had a very bad idea of even what it meant to struggle with food, that it made me bad is my point in this. And it didn't at all. I am an incredibly, like, you're probably very creative. Usually people with anxiety are extremely creative. You're probably like a very do it all type person, all or nothing. Like, you're high achieving. These are good qualities. You've just picked a shitty thing to use your qualities on, and that's okay. You can change that. So I love that you said that, because I've done that, where I've become somewhat obsessed with taking care of myself because I have an obsessive personality. It is who I am. I need to just use it to my benefit and not to my detriment.
Yeah, totally. And it's like we're thriving in what we're doing now because we focused all of this energy that was used up to just follow diets and like restrict calories. We're using all of this energy and all of this space in our mind now to just pour it into whatever we're up to now. Like, I'm running an essential oil business, you're doing coaching and like totally killing it on social media. And we just have all of this passion and all of this drive that we're now putting into something else. And I think that's really important. And I know you talk about identity all the time. We have to find something that replaces this eating disorder identity. So whatever that is for you, whether you're like an artist, or whether you like sports, or like, I don't know, whatever it is, you just go full blown into that and you're going to do amazing things, because not having your eating disorder holding you back, it's going to be absolutely incredible. Like, I would never be here if I was still struggling with it, my issues around food and body. Like, I was so insecure. And like every girl that I knew was a competition for me. I had no friends that were girls because I just ruined the relationships by my comparison and jealousy. And so if you have something you're passionate about, as long as it's like outside of like issues around food and stuff, go full blown into that and you're going to absolutely, absolutely thrive in it.
I love that, Elise. And thank you. You're so sweet. And you're doing the same. Like, we found things that have replaced that reward that our ego had attached to. You've become obsessed with that this is who you are, right? And you can change that. And you can become obsessed with a new ego. And you can become obsessed with a new purpose. You know, to a certain extent, my eating disorder was my purpose. And that should never, ever cross any girl's lips that's like listening to this ever again, because we won't let it. And I really want to ask you, like, for final thoughts, what would you say to someone who's where the old Elise was? Like, what would be your biggest tip to someone who, like, right now listening to this podcast is like, you know what, you're right, I'm gonna do this?
So I'll share a quick story about what I'm going through right now. So I started my business, and it's really intimidating starting a business because you feel like the market is totally saturated and there's nobody really left for you. And you're like, why do I think that I can do this? So one thing I learned in healing from my eating disorder is that just decide that you're going to do it and fill yourself up from the outside with things that instill that belief that you can do it within you. So I was constantly pouring like podcasts and books into myself. And whenever I would think like, you can't do this, this is too hard, I would just be like, no, we're doing this. And I would go and listen to a podcast that would re-motivate me. And just don't let yourself wallow in your self-doubting thoughts. It's so important. And I did that in my recovery and it worked. It worked like crazy, because the more and more you pour into yourself with like people's stories and other people telling you that it's possible, whether it's like books or podcasts, it's just, you're going to believe it and it's going to get easier and you're going to be able to talk yourself out of it. Pretty soon I started giving myself my own pep talks, being like, you can do this. And once you talk back to the ED voice enough, it quiets down. Like Melissa Ambrosini gave me this three-step process where you become aware of the voice is the first step. You close the door on the voice is the second step. And you say thank you, but no thank you. And that's it. And you move on with your day. And those voices are never going to stop coming, but you're just going to get better at saying no to them. And so coming back to where I am today, I'm doing the same thing that I did in my eating disorder with my business now. I'm just pouring myself in with thoughts of like, you can do this, and like material and podcasts. And I'm just not thinking about failing, because every time those thoughts come in, you go down this roller coaster. And it's exactly the same thing with healing from an eating disorder. And if you haven't even started yet, I would just be like, start today, start right now with this podcast, go and get yourself like a course or a book, or go listen to all of the other podcasts that Emily has if you haven't already, and just start today and don't look back, because every time you go back to your old habits, it's going to be harder and harder to break free from them. And so start today, and it's just going to absolutely change your life. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be so, so worth it. And you will not recognize yourself like a year or 2 years from now. And like, I just can't wait to see what you do. And I hope that you come back and let us know that you listened to this podcast and you were like,
because that was so beautiful. Like I find myself sometimes wanting to like shake girls, right? And I get it. Like I've been there, and my like the same energy, my tip would be actually about that, like a two-step tip. The first one is the voice right now saying, no, but you're happier trying to be thinner, like literally right now, because I could hear it, because it would happen to me. I would listen to some success story, and then I would have this voice or this thought going, but like, you're going to gain weight, and you're going to be unhappy, and people won't like you, and people, the voice that's telling you not to do what we just said isn't you, right? It isn't you. And we don't listen to that anymore. So that's my first tip, is right now, that voice that's like, but it's not going to be better, I can't do it, right here, I'm so safe, I'm so happy, I'm so comfortable, is bullshit. And we all know that. And so calling it out right now and saying that we don't listen to that voice anymore is what I want to encourage you guys to do. And then the second step, like Elise said, you cannot pour from, okay, so my girlfriend Sloan has this quote that I adore. I always said like, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? Sloan likes to say, you have to have an overflowing cup to pour. So there's no like fill up your cup so you can pour it out to like other people or whatever. Your cup needs to be overflowing because you deserve a full cup. And then what's overflowing, you can share with other people. And back to the people pleasing thing, I think we tend to also have the personality type of wanting to help everyone, or wanting to be perfect in all other areas of our life, wanting to keep people happy. We just like to focus on anything but ourselves. We thrive off of like focusing our energy elsewhere, right? Than recovery. And you can only fix one thing 100% at a time. So take a step back in maybe, you know, the areas where you're feeling really drained. Maybe you're that friend that everyone relies on, and you need to rely on yourself right now. Like, I just really want to add that in, because I think it's so powerful to realize that you are not selfish for committing to your recovery. It is the most selfless thing you can do, is to take care of yourself. Because then your cup will be overflowing, and you can be the incredible wife like Elise is now. Like, you can be the business owner that we are. You can be all of these things, but you have to take care of yourself first. That is like the ultimate tip. And oh my gosh, Elise, I'm like sweating. We got so into that. I'm so excited for girls to hear this. Like, I want to thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Like, absolutely out of this world. And I really hope that it inspires someone listening that we're no different than you, and you can and will recover.
100%. And if you need super more support, just keep going and filling yourself up every single day, twice a day, five times a day, with whatever fills you up. And that's just going to make all the difference consistently. and it will work. Just lean into it and don't worry about the weight gain. That held me back for months and months and months and months. Just don't think about it, don't worry about it, because you will forget about the weight gain once you realize everything else that you gain with it besides the weight. It just takes it away, and I'm in a bigger body than I ever have been in my whole life, and I don't even think about it anymore. You go buy clothes that fit your body the way that it is healthily, and it's just amazing.
Oh my gosh, girl. Hell yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in today. And I'll talk to you all real soon. I hope you have a great week. And I hope that this really inspired you to dedicate to your recovery. And if you'd like to talk to Elise or I, like, please let us know. It'll be linked on all my socials and on this podcast episode, especially if you want to get your hands on some oils or on some coaching. We're your gals. So let us know. And I hope you guys have a great week.
Thanks so much, Emily. See you later, guys.